It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And, I was just thinking about God and Abraham. And I thought maybe we can just look at it a bit. And maybe let's look at Isaiah 51. And then we can see a few verses and then we'll connect it to our father Abraham. So Isaiah 51 from verse 1, the Bible says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you are dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." You know, whenever we think of righteousness or of faith, you know, there is one man that stands out, and that's Abraham, you know, because, and that's why God is referring to the Israelites and is telling them, look here, you guys, you want to go after righteousness. You want to follow after right standing with God, you know, because for us now, we receive right standing by faith in Christ Jesus, but he's trying to say that if you are the ones that follow after it and you seek the Lord, you know, because you're desiring it, you're desiring the righteousness of God, you follow after it, why don't you seek, you know, why don't you look at your foundation? You know, like when you have a rock, before you take out of a rock, you must, or something you use for building a stone, you have to go back to the rock from where it is cut from. And if you've seen, you know, these people who do constructions, or those who cut rocks, you know, like in Juba, you have this rock city where they have to do this blasting. They blast the rocks, and then the pieces of the rock come out, and then they do the some of them have to break them into various small pieces to be, you know, used as gravel and for building. But as much as they take, you can still see that what, from where they took it from, it is still enough. You know, it's sufficient. It's like they're inexhausting. They're trying to exhaust something that cannot be exhausted, because it is limitless. You know, it comes from that limit. And it is the, you know, that small rock that comes out of the mother rock has the same characteristics. It might be a small piece, but it has come out of the bigger chunk. And so he's telling them, now you want to follow, you that follow after righteousness, can you see from where you have come from? Can you see the foundation of or the origin of the rock from which you are cut? And that is to tell you, that is the grain by which you must exist, and that is the grain by which, if God did it with Abraham, he will also do the same with you. And then he says that, look to Abraham, your father. So anyone that follows after righteousness, anyone that seeks the Lord, you know, there is a seeking of the Lord. There is a desire for God. You can look at what God did with your father, Abraham, and to Sarah who bore you. And the Bible says, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You know, one of the biggest questions that every normal human being has is, ah, God, are you going to bless me? When are you going to bless me? When are you going to increase me? When am I going to see increase as a person, as a family, as a church, you know, as a business, in your workplace? You can feel like you're stuck in a certain level and you're not moving. It's like, And it's easy to feel or to accept that this is the best that I can be, or this is the highest that I can go, when yet it is not what God has planned out for us. And if you look at your father, Abraham and Sarah, yes, they could have been comfortable with just having Eliezer, you know, when Abraham is discussing with God, and God is like, look here, Abraham, and this you can see in Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And God establishes the foundation with Abraham that before the gifts come, before the things that you're seeking of, the foundation that establishes you, what it is that is most important, is that I give you of myself. And that's why he says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. That means that that inheritance that you're looking for, that city that Abraham was looking for, that he was told, go to a land, I will show you, that city whose builder and architect is God, that they were looking for, God was telling him that, look here, before you go after those things, before you are focused on those things, why don't you first receive me and know and be for certain that I am El Shaddai? You know, when he says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward, that means that I am the all-sufficiency of all sufficiency, everything that you need, everything that makes you enough, that gives you the fullest satisfaction, is only in God. And so before we are concerned with the things or with the gifts, we must first know the giver and receive the giver and appreciate that he is sufficient in all things. So we are looking to our Father. God is saying that I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So Abraham has this conversation with God. And verse 2, we see that Genesis 15, it says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to inherit. And he said, and then of course he asked the question, how will I inherit it? Not a question of doubt, but a question of assurance. To know the process. You know, at times it's you know, when you can tell someone, yeah, I will do this, and then someone will be like, how? There's a how that is like, I don't even think it's possible. But there's a how that is, how will you do it? You know, how will it happen? You know, there's a difference in how you ask. But look at the conversation that Abraham has with God, and it's like, yes, God, you have called me. You say that all nations of the earth will be blessed through me. You will make me fruitful. You will increase me. Anyone that blesses me, you will bless. Anyone that curses me, you will curse. But now, I don't see myself bearing that fruit. He looked at himself and he considered that I don't have an heir. I don't have an heir that will, from my own, you know, flesh that will inherit. Yes, okay, maybe a slave that is born in my household will inherit it. You know, whenever you think about, you know, inheritance and those that have something to give to their children, the rich, their main focus will always be, after I have done this, who shall take over this business? Who shall inherit this? You know, sometimes children are not even bothered. They are in all over the world, in other countries, they are busy, and they're not involved in the inheritance of their parents. You know, they have no business to do with it. And those are some of the things that, you know, parents struggle with. And of course, you can see Abraham looks at everything that he has and he realizes here what matters to him now is increase, multiplication, and fruitfulness. So he wants to bear fruit in a way that it is connected to him. You know, you can yes, be bearing fruit that is, you know, that is things around you, because he had cattle, he had gold, he had wealth, but he understood that it is the DNA that he carries that will, he will be more satisfied in it bearing fruit. And that is why he has to bring it to God. And God tells him, look here, come out. The word of the Lord came. You know, there's a point where when you start to commune with God, it's like you're asking God questions. And you can be asking God questions even when you're quiet. You are sitting in your office, but you're asking God questions. As you read the word of God, you're asking God questions. As you're praying, even when you're praying in tongues, those are actually some of the best times to be communing with God. To be, let your inner man be asking God the questions even while you're praying. And as you're communing, as you're meditating, you're in that place where you're asking God, hey, but God, when will this be? When will I see a change? You know, when will I see an increase? When will the healing be, divine health be part of us? You know, when will we see multiplication? Yes, you've done this. Yes, we are not, it's not that we are not grateful, but there can be more. There will be more, because with you, every promise is yes and amen. In Christ Jesus, the promises of God are yes and amen. And so as you commune with God, then the Bible says the word of the Lord came. You know, God speaks, and God, in fact, I think there's a preacher who says that God does not speak much, but he answers much. That means that the more you ask him, you intentionally seek him. When he says, you will find me when you will seek me with all your heart, that means that the day you desire to know more about God, the more you desire understanding, the more you ask questions. When he says, get understanding, in all the getting, get understanding. The more you desire that, that is then the word of the Lord is sent. The word of the Lord comes. Think about Daniel. When Daniel humbled himself to seek the face of God, immediately an answer was sent to him. But his answer was delayed 21 days. But the key is told that the day you humble yourself to seek understanding, the answer was given. And so you can see when Abraham humbles himself to seek God and to ask God, then the word of the Lord comes. So your job is to commune. And as you're communing, you're patiently waiting on God. Then you expect the word of the Lord to come. And the word of God comes. When that word of God comes, it will shatter every doubt. How do you know when God has spoken? When there is an immense peace in your heart, when it comes with such a sound, with such a confirmation that you know for sure this is not something you would have thought of. This is not coming from your mind, but it is coming from the voice of God. And you see, God tells him, go out, count the stars. If you can count them, then so will be your descendants. So already God has seen his communion, has seen his questions, and he said, okay, fine, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to make you fruitful. And if you think you'll count them, then you should. Then let's compare with also the promise in Genesis 17, when God now comes to reaffirm that promise. You see, you know, when you think about the time of Abraham, he's 75 years old when God calls him to leave his father, you know, and mother and move and goes. And so he moves, and then he struggles. Later on, they get Ishmael, but he's still believing. Then eventually he's now 99. And this is Genesis 17. The Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Here is where he's saying, I am El Shaddai. I'm the all-sufficient God. That means whatever it is that you expect me to be for you, I will be it. And he says that, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. So now he's trying to say that now this is a covenant of fruitfulness. And that's the interesting of the word, that God can make you fruitful by covenant. And he's saying that I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Now remember, we are partakers of the promise of Abraham by faith. So everything that God spoke to Abraham, you are a partaker of it because you're a son of Abraham through Christ. Christ, the promises were given to Abraham and his seed, and his seed is Christ. So, and you are in Christ. Remember, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So, this promise is that God is making. Put your name there. You know, when he says that, and walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. Instead of putting me and Abraham, put me and Emmanuel. Put your name there. And he said that, and will multiply you exceedingly. Look at that multiplication. It's, you know, Abram, not even Abram, Adam was told, be fruitful and multiply. You be. But now God is saying, I am the one that will make you. And he's telling Abram that I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you. Not I will make you. God speaks in the now. You know, he says that I have made you. So when you're expecting healing from God, and God has said, I have healed you. When you're expecting fruitfulness, it's not that I will make you fruitful. It is, I have made you. And God is telling him that I have made you a father of many nations. And then verse 6, he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. You know, God is like, look here. There is a fruitfulness that is of greatness. And he's saying that nations come out of you and kings shall come from you. That means that your children, when the Bible says the children of the blessed shall be mighty in the land, God has declared a blessing of greatness even over our children. They shall not just be mere men. They shall not just serve on tables and just, you know, walk the earth as if they have no inheritance. No, they shall be mighty in the land, serving God in their generation. Why? Because of the covenant. And you see, God runs his covenants with those that fear him, you know, with his children and their children after it, and to the up to the 10th generation, the blessings continue. Now think of Abraham. Even to date, the children of Abraham, both those under the law and those under grace, are still fruitful. Look at the world's richest men. Many of them are from the children of Abraham. Why? Because there is a covenant of fruitfulness. There is a blessing of fruitfulness. And it is linked to their walk, linked to their faith, but more importantly, linked to what God has said. You know, there are things that God has said. There are things that you as a man have said to God, but it will never beat what God has spoken to you. The thing that gives you assurance today is what are the words that God has spoken to you. Yes, someone, a prophet, may come and give you certain words, and it is good if you believe and receive them, because God sends his servants to speak through us and to us and through us. But there are words that God has spoken to you in your communion with him, in dreams to you, in moments of intercession that have come so powerfully. Now, those are words that no man can take away from you, because you know it, you did not think of them. It was not in your thoughts, but it was in the speakings of God. Now, if you can hold on to those words, then therein lies your reward. Think about Joseph. Joseph, God shows him, look here, the sheaves of your brothers are bowing to you. Then he says the stars, 11 stars, and the sun and the moon are bowing to you. Your father, your mother, your brothers are bowing to you. Now, God has to show him that, but so that when he is in the pit, he can remember that dream. When he is in Potiphar's house, he can remember that dream. And eventually, when it comes to pass, he can say, surely, you guys meant it for evil, but God had planned this. God meant it for good. When God has made his promises over our lives, our job is to hold on to them. Hold on to them. And at times, people look for words that are very far, but just open the scriptures. Claim those promises. Claim those promises. Connect to them. And say, you know what? I am fruitful. I am looking back to the rock from which I was cut. There is a foundation. There is a rock from which I was cut. God called him alone and blessed him. That means there is a potential in each and every one of us who are seeds of faith that you can be alone, but God will multiply. You can think that, I am nothing. It's me against the world. But in that place of you being alone, if you can remember the covenant of fruitfulness, yes, it might look like it has delayed, like Abraham and Sarah. That's why I said, look to your mother who bore you. She was 90 years old. To humans, it was done. Their bodies were good as dead. But the Bible says Abraham did not consider. He did not consider his body that was as good as dead. There are things that you must not consider. You must not consider the state of how things look like. You must not consider how long it has been. You must not consider, where will our help come from? But look unto what God has spoken. If you know it is God that sent you to this land where you are, sent you to your job, then it does not matter the opposition that you face. The God that sent you will give you the wisdom. He will navigate. He will break the chains. He will break the barriers, and you shall be established. Yes, things can appear like, it has dragged on for too long, but God does not need forever to change a situation. In a day, he is able to transform it. In a day, he is able to establish it. In a day, is able to make it a turnaround. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And we shall be fruitful. We bear fruit. We shall multiply. We shall increase. And this is something that you speak for yourself. You speak for your family. You speak for your workplace. You speak for the church. You speak for your ministry. You speak for everything that concerns you. Everything that you touch. The Bible says, blessed is the man, whatever he does prospers. The blessed man, whatever he does prospers. And we have a covenant of fruitfulness. Walk blamelessly before me. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us insight into this. Brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Addition from myself.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word that reminds us that you have called us to fruitfulness. You say that you called us to bear fruit and fruit that will last. And I thank you that it is for our Father's good pleasure that we bear fruit. Thank you. Thank you for fruitfulness. Thank you for the covenant of fruitfulness, that we are partakers of it, that indeed we increase. Though we start alone, though we are alone, though we are called alone, but in you there is a multiplication that comes from you. There is a grace that comes from you. There is an increase that comes from you. We look unto you, your promises, they are yes and amen. Your power is yes and amen. Your favor is yes and amen. Your love is yes and amen. We trust in your promises. They are gracious. They are faithful. You are mighty God. There is no one else like you, God. Walk with us, O God. Direct our steps, O God. Be our shield. Be our portion. Be our all in all, Jesus. We trust in your favor, in your love, in your kindness, O God. May your name be exalted, be magnified. Go ahead of us. Protect us. Preserve us, O God. Increase us, O God. Help our steps, O God. Thank you for you're the giver of every good. good gift, and more importantly, that you've given us yourself, O God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.